Welcome to Widow Too Soon.
This is Michelle Bader Ebersole. I'm sitting here not with Mark. He could not make it on today, but I'm super excited. I'm not even going to do the whole catch up with my life. We'll do that next time because I have a very, very, very special guest for you today. If you're on video, you can already see, but I am sitting here with my daughter, Haley Bader. How's it going, Haley?
It's pretty good, mother.
Oh, this is going to be funny because we're just sitting here at home talking to the microphone, but this, I'm so excited. So, you know, when one thing doesn't work out, then something else always works out. So today it's kind of last minute. It's the day before we produced the podcast. I had to come up with something really quickly, but I've actually been thinking about this for a while of interviewing Haley, because as you guys know, we shared that she spoke in chapel a few weeks ago and it went really well. And I was thinking, wow, wouldn't it be cool to have her on the podcast so that you guys can hear from her? So this is our first time interviewing a child of somebody who's died and, you know, a widow's child. And so I'm very excited, although she's a child, but she's about to be an adult in 2 weeks? 20-something days until she turns 18, but she'll always be my child, but she's not a child. So anyways, and maybe in the future we'll have more, you know, kids of people who've died on the podcast to share their story. So we're just going to get right into it, Haley.
Okay, Michelle.
Okay, so Haley, tell us what, I'm going to do it kind of like we do with widows, but we're changing it up. For our situation. So tell us about, let's go back to 2020. What was, and you can go back further if you want, what was life like before your dad passed away? Tell us about your relationship with him. Like, what was life like?
Awesome. It was really great. I look back at those times and I miss those times because we were just all together, just one big happy family, especially like right during COVID. That's when we really spent the most time with each other, mm-hmm. because we were locked down. We were closed and we couldn't go anywhere. We couldn't see anyone. And so it was just like us, just our family. And so it was really nice to just be able to have each other and just hang out whenever we wanted. Obviously, I'm a daddy's girl. Maybe you talked about that before.
I'd love for you to talk about it.
I just love, like, my dad. Like, I always loved father-daughter balls. Mm-hmm. Loved those, going to those, going on dates with him. Daddy's girl. I was his only daughter, so obviously I spent, like, a lot of time with him. And yeah, so it was great. I wanted to spend every second with him.
Yeah, that's true.
Like, literally would not leave him alone. We would watch, like, old shows, and we would cuddle in his chair. Even when I got, like, too big, he would still, like, make room for me, and we would still cuddle on the chair.
Tell him about daddy shirts.
Daddy shirts.
It's cute.
My dad, I think maybe, I don't know where it started from.
You were, like, two or three.
Two or three.
You were little.
Like, really little, you know, like pajamas.
Yeah.
I didn't want to wear normal pajamas, I guess. I don't know. I was like, I want to wear his shirt.
Yeah.
And so I would take his shirt and I would wear it. And at that point, two or three, it was really long on me, like a dress.
To the floor, yeah.
I wouldn't take his shirt though unless he rubbed it like all over his body. He would rub it like in his armpits.
That's
and everything,
right.
And so that it would get his smell, like his deodorant smell, because I don't know, I just loved having like that daddy smell on like all the shirt. I would wear those every night, and I still do.
Yeah, she still has the last one he gave her, even though it's starting to get holes in it, and it's been sewed up a few times.
And obviously now it's way too short that I have that pants with it.
Yeah.
It's not like a dress anymore, but. That was one of my favorite things.
I remember him saying, you want a fresh daddy shirt? And then that's when he put it on his armpits.
He would go to his room and choose a shirt that like he hasn't used in a while or won't use again, and he would just give it to me.
So that was really cute. And then I also think about when you were supposed to say goodnight to him, and you say goodnight like 100 times. You kept coming out of your room, but he wouldn't get mad.
Well, yeah, no, I would always want to say goodnight to him, and he would give me his comics every night for me to read from his newspaper, because he'd get newspaper every day, and then I would just, like, say goodnight and want to keep saying goodnight, and, like, I used to, like, have to sleep with my door open so that I could hear him, like, watching his shows, and, like, I would just need to be able to hear him. And also when he would get his, medicine, his pills, in the hallway, my room was right next to it, and he would, like, say goodnight, like, I would still be up, because I would just be up, and he would be like, no, you have to go to bed, but he would still say goodnight.
Oh, so cute.
Yeah.
So you had a really good relationship. So let's actually back it up before he died. What was life like for you when he was sick?
When he was always sick.
Right, like, but really sick when we knew he was probably going to die.
Well, it kind of, like, when we found out his cancer came back in sixth grade, I didn't really understand it. Mm-hmm. Like, I was, I don't know, 11, 12. I didn't really comprehend what was going on. I was just like, oh, he's sick, but you talked about chemo, and I was like, oh, okay, so they're gonna get out the cancer and he's gonna be okay. So I wasn't really thinking much of it, even though, like, you were sad a lot of the time, like when you got calls and stuff about that the chemo didn't work, whatever.
Doctor's calling,
yeah, and then, like, I was kind of like, oh, maybe this is serious, and when he had to, like, shave his head and all that, I was like, oh, but still at the same time, I was like, oh no, God's going to heal him. Like, I was like, there's no way he's not going to be healed from this. There's, like, why would God do that? And, so yeah, I just remember all of that in sixth grade. And then seventh grade, it was kind of still the same thing.
Yeah,
it was kind of just still the chemo and everything was going on. And then it was eighth grade when he started getting, like, really sick and, like, you started telling me, like, this is going to be the end. But still, even at that point, I don't think I wanted to believe it, because I remember when we got hospice, our hospice nurse, that's you were telling me that means, like, it's the end. And I was like, oh, what? That doesn't make any sense. Mm-hmm. Like, I still wasn't believing it. And then COVID happened, and it shut down everything. And I still wasn't really believing it that much, because I was like, oh, it's fine. I don't know. I just, yeah, I didn't believe it until it, like, actually happened, because I just, I didn't want to. So, yeah, it was eighth grade, middle of COVID, didn't have any friends or, like, to go to. No, like, I just, yeah, didn't have anyone really.
So what was it like when, because I know the story from my perspective, but what was it like when I woke you up because he was dying?
Well, the night before was awesome.
Yeah, let's talk about that.
Well, I don't really remember that much, but I just remember every night during COVID, we would make cookies. It was really bad, but that was, like, the only thing he ate was cookies and, like, slush, like, Sonic slushes, or like, McFlurries, like, something... Yeah. Like, sweet. And so we would get those, like, every single day. And then every night we would make cookies, like, chocolate chip cookies.
That's true.
Every night. And we would watch shows together. And so I don't remember what our last show was.
It was that one where you have to guess which people are real or not. You know, they're, like, impersonators.
Oh, yeah, the fake person. I don't remember what it's called, but, yeah.
We used to watch the Gravity Show. He would call it the Gravity Show. You know that one?
Yeah, with, like, the spinny thing. Yeah.
But this one, the last night we watched that.
Yeah, so we watched a funny show. I remember him laughing a lot. And because we would all have our, like, designated spots in the living room where we would sit. Like, we had this old, like, couch that I would push over and sit on that. And we all would have this. Yeah, it was just, like, a good night. And then I remember, for some reason, you were saying goodnight to the boys in their room, like, my brothers. And we all kind of came in there. And we had just gotten Bentley, too, our dog. And he was, like, just a little puppy there. And we, for some reason, we all came into their room. And we just had, like, a big family hug. Yeah,
which had never happened
before. We never, ever did that before.
Like, which, it wasn't, like, a usual thing.
No, it was weird. And even Bentley joined in. He kind of, like, jumped up. He still does that now. He loves hugs. But he, like, jumped up. And we all just had a family hug. Crazy. It was... I don't know. It was just, it was interesting. And then that night, did you share what you did with him? Like, the grilled cheese and everything?
Yeah. I made him a grilled cheese. I've shared that before.
Asleep, must have been.
Yeah, it was really late at night.
Yeah.
Like, midnight.
Yeah, so I must have fallen asleep, just all happy, just knowing, like, oh, next day we'll do it all over again, eat junk food and hang out together. Yeah. But then, I don't remember exactly what time it was, like 4.
4 or something.
Yeah, mm-hmm. 4 a.m. I was just fast asleep. And all of a sudden, I remember you just, like, knocking on my door or opening my door or something. And just saying, like, come quick, it's daddy. And I was like, come, what? Like, but I was kind of, like, this thing has happened before. Like, he's had to go to the hospital before. And
right.
And so I was kind of just like, oh, maybe it's just another one of those times he's just going to go in the ambulance and come right back.
Right.
Like, I was just like, what? Okay. Like, kind of just like, in shock, still kind of asleep. And then I remember hearing you go to the boys' room next and knocking on the door and saying the same thing, like, come quick. And them going like, what? And then I went in there and into your room. And it was just like, daddy was just like laying on the bed and just staring straight up and I was like, what the heck is happening? And so like I kind of went over to the bed and I was like, daddy, and he wasn't responding. And I don't remember, I don't know, it's kind of a blur.
Yeah, it's kind of blurred together all
yeah but you were just like saying like kind of saying something like, say your goodbye, like say everything.
Yeah.
You're just like, say everything you want to say right now. And I was like, what's happening? And then you started to call our hospice nurse and everything. And she was, this is the thing that I remember. She was saying, give him some.
Oh, the Halidol. Medication.
Yeah, I don't know. Give him some medicine or whatever.
In a syringe.
Yeah, in a syringe. And you put it in his mouth because he was like unresponsive. So he couldn't take it himself. But I remember that. And I remember you saying like, swallow it. And in my mind, I thought, oh, that's going to help him. Like, and I remember talking to the boys about this too, and they thought that same thing. Oh. Like, I was like, oh, okay, so you're giving him medicine, and he's going to wake up any second. Mm-hmm. Like, he's going to get out of it, he's going to, like, be alert again. And so that was what I was thinking. I was like, oh, okay, so you're doing something to help him.
Mm-hmm.
And then, it like, he didn't, like,
well, it was just get to relax
it.
Him.
He was, yeah. Mm-hmm. He was just, like, still laying there. And then I remember seeing his, like, chest and his mouth just, like quick, like, slow breaths, like,
That's right.
Like, over and over again. And then you were like, get the oxygen or something, because we had oxygen for him at that point. And so I remember putting the oxygen tube in his nose. And then it fell out at one point when we were saying, like, goodbye and stuff. And I remember freaking out because I was like, no, he needs it. I remember, like, bursting out crying when, like, the tube accidentally fell out of his nose or something. And I was like, oh, no, he needs that. I was just like, he needs to have that in. And I remember freaking out about that. But I was like, I don't know, too scared to do anything about it. So I kind of just watched. And you're like, no, it's okay, it's okay. And I remember you calling grandma and all of them and everybody coming. She got there quick.
Yeah.
Like, everybody got there really quick. I don't even remember. Yeah, it was just really quick. And I remember I wanted to be closest to daddy, so I sat on the other side of the bed, right next to him.
Mm-hmm.
And then I don't know, I just kind of was in shock, really.
Yeah.
Like, I was just kind of taking in the moment, like, I was just shocked. And just watching him, I remember watching his eyes, you know, when you don't blink for very long, they kind of get crusted over, kind of. I remember seeing that, and it was, like, scary. It was like, his eyes, and because he wasn't blinking, and it was just, like, scary, because, like, I'm like, I know he's not dead yet, because he's still breathing, but it's like he was already dead, and I was like, but I still have so much to say.
Aww.
And so I remember trying to just say everything that I could say, like, thank you for all this and blah, blah, blah. I don't even really remember everything that I said, but I was just trying to get out everything that I possibly could. And then I remember you started playing music, like, right before, like.
But you sang to him.
Yeah. Well, you played music, and I was singing You Are My Sunshine, which is, like, basically, like, our song. Like, he would sing that to me all the time when I was little. Like, if I couldn't sleep, he would just be like, okay, let's sing the song, and he would sing the song with me. And so I was like, okay, that song used to calm me down, so maybe I can sing it to him and it'll calm him down and calm me down too. We sang You Are My Sunshine, and then I remember it was the song I Can Only Imagine. I remember that song because after, you wouldn't play that song.
I still haven't listened to it, I don't think.
I had to when I was in somebody's car, and I didn't really want to tell them to turn it off. But it was, like, I Can Only Imagine was the song that he passed away to. And and I remember, like, when we were in the car after that, like, whenever it came on, you would just turn it off. And I'm like, oh, I know why. But we wouldn't really talk about it. We would just all, like, Mm-hmm. Just change the channel and not talk about it. And also our hospice nurse wasn't there because she was somewhere else. So we had some other random guy.
Oh, yeah. It wasn't her shift. She was out of town. But she did answer our phone call because I had her personal number.
Yeah, but it was some guy that I didn't even know. Yeah. And so it made it feel even weirder that this random guy was, like,
in our house,
writing down the time of death and all that stuff. And I was like, what?
Do you remember him coming in?
Yeah.
Saying he was gone. He said he's gone.
I remember coming in and I remember still during, like, I can only imagine a song, like, trying to, I was, like, fixed on Daddy's chest, like, trying to see if it was still, like, going up and down. And then, like, I kind of remember him taking his last breath, kind of.
Oh, wow.
Like, I kind of remember that. And then, like, just not seeing him move at all, like, again. And in that moment, I was just like, this is real. Like, I was like, this is actually happening. And then I remember Grandma didn't want to believe it. I remember this because the nurse guy, he was like, time of death is this. Sorry, he's passed away. And then Grandma was like, no, he's not. And she, do you remember?
She was like, no, he's still breathing? Did she say that?
She said, breathing. And I think she put her head on his chest or something and was like, no, he's still breathing. Don't write down time. But she was like, I think just in shock, you know. Yeah. She didn't want to believe it. She was like, I remember that, and I was kind of wanting to believe Grandma, but, like, I knew it wasn't true. And then I remember, I think it was Nana or something. No, it was Grandma, and she was like, it was you. I don't remember. It was someone who was like, okay, now, like, actually say your final goodbyes to, like, his body, basically. And so I remember walking over, because I was still on the bed, like, walking over to the other side of the bed where he was, and I gave him a kiss for the last time on his cheek with his whiskers, his wise whiskers, that's what I called them. Like, when he started getting gray hairs, we would call them his wise whiskers because he was so wise. And so it was, and his scruffies, because they were, like, all scruffy. So I remember, like, walking over and kind of realizing this is the last time I'm going to get to kiss him. So I just kissed his cheek. Like, I can still, like, imagine the feeling, too, of, like, his scruff on his cheek. And then, I don't think I gave him a hug. I just did that and left. I was thinking it was the first one to, like, leave the room.
Did you go sit in the front room?
And then,
I don't even know.
And then this was when, I think this was when Nana took me aside, me and the boys. She kind of, like, helped move us towards the living room.
Oh.
And we all three sat on the couch, like, all in a row.
I didn't know that.
You didn't know? Yeah, so we all three sat on the couch, and after we said our goodbyes, and I think Grandma came out one last time, like, do you want to say anything? We're all like, no. And so we just all kind of, I don't think we said anything, like, me and the boys, we just sat on the couch, just staring at nothing, just sitting there. And then I remember hearing you cry, like, loudly.
Mm-hmm.
Like, me and the boys were just silent out in the living room, and I remember hearing you just, like, wail, like, the loudest cry I've ever heard. And I think that's what kind of, like, broke the shock for me. I was like, this is real. And I remember, crying after I heard you cry, because I was like, oh, like, this doesn't just affect me, it affects all of us, and, like, we're all grieving through this. And, like, I never get it out of my head, just, like, the sound of just, like, grief. Like, I've never heard that sound before, of just, like, pure grief and, like, crying. Just, like, it's just something you can't just make up. Like, so I remember hearing you back there
I never knew that.
cry, and me and the boys just sitting on the couch. And I remember the nurse guy was out there, and he was like, do you guys need anything or whatever? He was, like, trying to be all helpful, but we were just like, no, we don't want anything. And so eventually, I think it was you who, you came back out, and you said, let's go to McDonald's. you didn't mean it like that, but...
No, we went to the parking lot to meet somebody, I don't know.
No, because you said, let's get out of here, and I didn't understand why. Mm-hmm. But then later I understood you didn't want us to be there when they took out his body.
Yeah, that's what our hospice nurse told me. You don't want
to. Yeah, you don't want to. So I'm glad I didn't.
Yeah.
Did you?
I didn't want to see that.
Yeah. So that's why you came with us. I think it was Grandma who stayed.
Grandma and Grandpa. Grandpa was there too. And they said, Grandpa said, I brought him into the world. I'm going to take him out of the world. And so they stayed.
Yeah. Yeah. So I remember you like, let's go. You were just like, let's get out of here. And I was still in my pajamas, you know. I think maybe I grabbed a sweatshirt or something.
Yeah, it's a blur.
Maybe shoes. I don't even remember. We just went in the car and we just drove to that McDonald's near our house, the parking lot. And we just sat there. And I don't know.
Then, Jessica and
we
Amy
cried, kind of. And
came
then,
and took us in a different car.
And then you didn't want to drive anymore or something happened. And, Jessica came and
I don't think I drove at all. I think someone drove us.
Well, yeah,
I was not in a place to drive.
It was Nana, I think. Okay. Nana, Papa. But then we somehow transferred over to Jessica's car.
Yeah.
I don't know how it worked, but we ended up at their house. I remember that.
Yep.
And my cousin Hannah, she's like a little bit more awkward with emotions, you know.
Yeah.
Especially during this, what do you say? Like,
because
we're the same age, and so what do you say to someone your same age who just dealt with all of that, like? You don't know what to say. And so I remember what she said. She was like, do you want to see my goats? Because they live on a farm. And I was like, okay. I think it made me laugh or something. I don't know. I was like, okay. And so she just took me around the farm and she just showed me all the animals and stuff. But I was kind of just still in shock. I remember not even crying for the rest of the day because it was just
so weird.
In
weird
shock.
Day.
And yeah. I don't even remember what happened the rest of the day. It was something.
We came home after a few hours.
We did?
Yeah. I was dealing with, where to send his body and all the things. People were calling me. I had to figure everything out. And
oh. I remember trying to talk to Peyton, and he didn't say a word.
Mm.
I don't even remember him crying at all that entire time.
Mm-hmm.
Because he was younger than me.
He was like
sixth
12.
Grade, so yeah.
He was 12.
And I remember he didn't say a word. Like, I don't know. I was just sad for him because he didn't. I don't think he understood really fully. But I remember trying to talk with him and Hayden. I don't know. I just remember I didn't want to be alone. I didn't want to be alone. That's why, in our house, I had my own room. The boys had a room, and you guys had a room. So I was, the only one in the house who had my own room. And then I remember I did not want to sleep by myself.
Yeah, me either.
And so I remember asking you if I could sleep with you in your bed. But I specifically remember I did not want to sleep on Daddy's side.
Mm-hmm. Neither did I.
Oh, well, I just didn't want to. So I kicked you out of your spot.
That's
and
okay.
I sat. I slept in your side, because I don't know, just
I didn't either, but it was okay.
Yeah, but it was and so we kind of did that. I don't even remember what happened after that. It was just a lot.
Yeah, it's a blur.
I literally don't remember. I remember having Emily. I actually did go see her the day after or something.
Oh,
and I cried with her like a friend. I saw her one friend, but other than that, I don't really remember anything that happened. I just remember you kept his water cup on his nightstand for
a long time. Don't touch it.
Long time.
And
you're
his glasses and his medicine. Don't touch it.
Yeah, his whole nightstand. You're don't touch anything in the nightstand.
Just want to preserve it.
Yeah, his water cup.
Uh-huh.
It got old water, dust everywhere.
Yeah.
And you kept it there. And
I did, that's right. Wow, it's so interesting hearing it from your perspective. You remember things that I forgot about and just seeing what it's like for you. So this is a common question we ask people, what were those first few days? So you told us the day of, the days, weeks, months following that, what'd you feel like? And how did you as a 14-year-old girl deal with this?
Freshly 14.
Freshly, you had literally days.
Well, a few weeks, because it was the same month that I turned 14. But yeah, that was actually one of the things I was please do not let him die in my birth month. I remember that. Do you remember me saying that?
Yeah.
Yeah. I was if this is going to happen, please don't let it be my birth month, because May was my favorite month because my birthday is May 5th. And I was I love May, my birthday, and it's not too hot yet because I don't like the heat. It's not too hot, but not too cold. There's flowers everywhere. I was I love May. And so I don't want this to ruin it. But honestly, I don't think it ruined it. It actually kind of made it better, because there's another thing that not better, but like, right. as in like, there's another thing I can look forward to celebrating his life every yeah. year in May. So
yeah, because we go out to dinner at Red Robin, your favorite restaurant, and we share memories. Or last year we shared, what would you want to tell your dad? So we'd make it something special now. So it doesn't have yeah. to be a horrible thing. Obviously that May was horrible.
yeah.
So what was it like?
But yeah,
you were still in COVID, so you weren't like going back to school or anything. They let you guys not finish school, which was nice.
Oh, yeah. I always joke about that. Like, I never graduated middle school because technically I didn't because I just finished my eighth grade year just where I was at.
I think there was only a few weeks left.
But yeah, there was.
School was like, don't worry about it.
There was only like a few weeks. But yeah, I just remember I would always joke about that. But yeah, so I didn't have to worry about like online schoolwork anymore or anything. I remember the day of, I text all my friends. I like text them like, hey, my dad just passed away early this morning, please keep our family in prayer. And I kind of just sent that out to like everybody, just kind of personally letting them know, because yeah. I knew they were gonna find out at some point, but just to personally let people know. And then just getting tons of responses like, I'll be here for you if you need that, and like, oh, I'm so sorry, I'll do this, and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, it doesn't matter, they don't understand. Like, that was the one thing. I was like, I would always say thank you to their response, but it just didn't really mean anything to me, because I was like, they don't really understand, they don't get what I'm going through right now. So, like, I understand that they feel sorry, but, like, they don't, like, understand what I'm going through. So I remember just getting texts like every day about that. And then I kind of cut myself off from my friends a little bit too. Like, I stopped responding in group texts and everything. And I kind of just like, I don't know. I kind of just distanced myself from everyone a little bit. But yeah, first few days kind of a blur, but just kind of in shock. Didn't really allow myself to process it that much. Mm-hmm. And then next few weeks, same thing, until it was, I don't think the first time I really processed it wasn't until June, when I sprained my ankle. Do you remember this?
Yes.
I was jumping on a trampoline. I've sprained my ankle so many times now, but this was the first time that I sprained my ankle, and first major injury basically ever. Like, I've never done anything yeah. like injury. And it was June 6th or something. I remember it was like, yeah, I remember it was like early June, and I was, we were at like a friend party thing, yeah. and I was jumping on the trampoline, and I remember, I like fell down, landed on it. I knew it hurt, but I didn't really understand it was like sprained yet. And so I kind of like hobbled off the trampoline, and then I came and found you, and I'm like, my ankle really hurts. And I just started like, I think I was fine, and then you were like, oh, we should go, because I was kind of crying, and you're like, we should go to the emergency room, because it was kind of, looked like it was swelling. And then as soon as we got in the car, I remember bursting out crying, and I don't think it was from the pain of the ankle. I think it was the pain of, like, going through something without my dad there. Like, I remember that was, like, the first, and this was only, like, I don't know, like, a few weeks after.
Yeah, it wasn't long.
Like, literally not that long after, like, but it was, like, the first real thing that he wasn't there for. And I remember, like, just being in the emergency room and just, like crying and just realizing that my dad's not there to make me feel better. Because usually when I got hurt, he would, like, be there to be like, oh, I'll try to fix you up. Because he had, a tool, a workbench, and he would be like, oh, just come to my workbench, and I wish I could just fix you with my tools and stuff. And so just him not being there to say that, like, even just, like, to hear, like, a call or hear his voice, just be like, oh, it's gonna be okay, I'll give you a hug later or whatever. But, like, just knowing that he's never gonna come back, and he's not ever gonna be able to kiss my boo-boos again, and just,
right.
I think that was the first time that I really, like, took it in that he was gone. And that was really hard. So, not only just, like, trying to get through the pain of, like, my ankle, but also the pain of everything that I've been holding in, because I was kind of just, like, holding it in from that point. Yeah, so that was definitely, like, the first, like, time I really realized it. And then summer went by. I remember you tried distracting us, kind of, and you took us on, like, little adventures and stuff here and there. Sprained my ankle again on a hike. That was a...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And then school happened. It was awful.
What was that like going back after everything you'd experienced?
Yeah, so back September.
And you're starting high school that year.
Yeah, like only a few months later. And everybody's coming back because it was COVID. So everybody's coming back. We had masks on.
Oh, that's right.
We all were wearing masks. And it was probably the worst first day of school ever. Mm-hmm. Because all of my friends had left.
Oh, that's right.
Every single one. I had a big group of friends, like maybe 10, like 10 friends.
Supporting you in eighth grade.
Yeah, and they were they were great friends in eighth grade. Yep. Like maybe 10 of them. Every single one of them left my freshman year of high school because they all went to different high schools. And so it was, and I didn't know anything. I didn't know like anyone who I could talk to. So like first day, and also nobody knew what had happened really. So first day, no idea where I was going. I asked Hayden, my older brother, for help, and he wasn't much help. He was just like, I don't know, and, you know, like, kind of like that get away from me, annoying little sister type of thing. Mm-hmm. So he was not helping at all. I somehow managed to find my first class, but I remember at lunch, I sat by myself, and I was like, I was like, this is awful. Like, nobody knows what happened to me. Everybody's just, like, excited to be back, but, like, and nobody realizes, like, everybody says, like, oh, COVID was so hard, and I'm like, you have no idea how hard it was for some of the people.
How I feel, too.
Yeah, and so, like, everybody was, you know, talking about, like, oh, COVID was so hard, I'm so glad to see everybody again, and I was like, yeah, okay, just kind of annoyed with everybody, that nobody really understood, so it was hard. I felt alone. Like, I did not feel like I had anyone to go to. Like, nobody at school understood. I had no friends to turn to. Literally nothing. It was like a hard first day. I think I hid in the bathroom at lunch. It was bad. I just remember it was really bad. And even the people that did know, I remember a lot of the people did know. I think the school, I don't know, I remember people knew, but nobody came up to me and said anything.
That's the worst.
Like nothing. It just felt like nothing had changed for anyone else while my whole world had changed. Like, it was just, it was really bad. But eventually throughout that year, I did find new friends.
Yes, you've got great friends now.
Yeah, so I'm not friendless anymore, guys.
You know, she has friends.
I do have friends. So, yeah, it was just really hard not having anyone, though. Like, and at that point, my faith wasn't that good either, because I honestly was still mad at God, because I still didn't understand why I had to deal with this, and, like, why he didn't heal my dad and everything. I just didn't understand, didn't really care. But then it was one night, I was crying. I remember I was crying one night. We had just moved into our new house, this house, actually, because we moved. And I was sleeping on the floor because I didn't have a bed yet. I was sleeping on a mattress. And I had just hung up some pictures of me and Daddy. You know the ones on my wall?
Mm-hmm.
I have tons of pictures on my wall. I hate bare walls. So I just hung up some pictures, and I was staring at just, like, a happy picture of me and Daddy just smiling at the camera. I think it was one of the selfies I took. I used to love taking pictures, like, selfies with him at, like, games, sports games and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just staring at it, and I just started crying. And, I hadn't really allowed myself to cry, really. And I remember just, like, really, it was a long cry. And then as I was, like, falling asleep, I feel like I heard, like a voice. Mm-hmm. I was like, what is that? And, like, and I decided to pray in that moment. And I was like, God, like, I'm, like, you know, I still don't understand everything that's happened. And then I just heard the voice say, trust me.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just, like, trust everything. Like, I was just, like, in that moment, I felt peace. Like, I stopped crying and, like, when I looked back at that picture, I didn't, like, feel sad anymore. I felt, like, joy of, like, remembering that moment. And, like, I just, I don't know, it was, like, a feeling that I can't really explain. I just remember being in that moment and just hearing, like, trust me. And so that's what I did.
Wow.
Like, I decided to just trust God with everything. And like, you say this all the time, we only see one piece of the puzzle while God sees the whole thing. That actually, that, like, really helped me a lot. because, like, I was like, oh. And I started, like, yeah, just realizing more in my faith of, like, not everything's going to go my way. And that doesn't mean I need to turn away from God just because it didn't go how I thought it was supposed to go. Mm-hmm. Because it's not up to me. It's not, like, I don't get to just decide everything in my life. And so I was able to just, like, realize that, like, in that moment. I don't know. It was just...
That's cool.
It's yeah, amazing. It was weird.
Like, supernatural and, like, the peace that passes all understanding that we don't understand, what the Bible talks about. So... What ways have you dealt with your grief? I feel like you do a lot through singing, writing songs.
Yeah, definitely. I am a musician at heart. I love singing. I could not live without singing. Yeah, I always wanted to write, like, my own songs, but I never really was inspired by anything before. And then I felt inspired after Daddy passed away, and I was... I kind of was working on a song before he passed away, and I remember him helping me with, like, rhyming words, and I actually used some of those lyrics in the song that I wrote after he passed away.
That you sang at his celebration of life.
Yeah.
And his graveside service.
Oh, yeah, I sang just a little bit of it then, and then I sang the entire song at his celebration of life. Basically, the song was about, like...
Do you want to sing it?
I don't remember how it goes.
Okay.
Well, I mean, like, it's...
Yesterday. I'm like, yeah, okay.
I don't think you remember the song.
I do. I'm singing it in my head.
There was no word yesterday in it. She's not a musician. I did not get my talents from her. No, just so you know, it was definitely my dad.
But it was like, I can hear it in my head. Can you sing a little bit?
I have so many
you're
in my
so
head.
Proud of me. That is. I know you're proud of me. That's the last line. I know the song. That's the last line of it.
Well, it started, it was, oh, man, I can't remember it. Well, I remember, like, bare walls, empty room, nothing but memory.
That's a different one.
Oh, that is, I know, how did this one go? I have so many songs.
Yeah. Well, sure, some, okay, so anyways, what was the point of that song? I interrupted you by asking you to sing it.
And which one was it? Was it Where Did All the Time?
Yes, Where Did All the Time Go?
That's the one that I was just singing.
Oh. Okay, but, can you sing a little bit?
I don't remember it. I literally don't remember it. But basically, I can't remember it now. But the song was I really want to remember how it goes, but I can't. Where did all the time go?
I don't want to say goodbye. But now I know you're running free, and now I know you're proud of me.
That's not how it goes.
Well, there are lines in the song.
Okay, yeah, but I had actual dynamics to the song. I didn't just start with that. It started sad. Let's just say that. I remember it started sad. I was talking about moving, and I was talking about, like, all the memories that I had, and looking back, and, like, being sad, and saying, like, I wish you were here, all this stuff, and basically just starting it sad. But then... As I got into the bridge, that's when I would say...
now you're free.
I know that you are running free, yeah. Running there so happily. Something cheesy, you know. and that's when I would build it up. And then I would re-sing the chorus, and I would sing it. Instead of saying, like, I wish you were here, I would say, like, I know you're there, like, running around, and you're instead happy and free and peaceful. And instead of just, like, being all, like... sad that you're gone, being happy that you're somewhere where you can be, like, healthy and happy. Yeah, so anyways, that was definitely something that I used with, like, grieving. I would just write songs. Like, I'm not a big talker about my emotions. Even this is a lot for me.
You're doing good. you're touching a lot of people.
Yeah, like, even this, like, I just don't talk about my emotions a lot. And so what I do to process is I write it down. And so I had a journal. I wrote some stuff in it. And then I would turn, like, my journal, like, into lyrics for songs. Mm-hmm. Like, I would just, like, express my emotions through lyrics for songs. And I would, yeah, just spend a lot of time on, like, my piano just making up melodies for the songs, for the lyrics. And so, yeah, music, listening to music. I love music. Definitely something that helped me. And then in high school, I became part of the worship team. Mm-hmm. And that was really cool because I was able to, like, learn how to use my emotions to worship God. And so I still do at my school. I'm like a worship leader, and now I lead a lot because I'm a senior, and so, like, I lead a lot of the songs. Mm-hmm. But just being able to, like, sing my feelings for God, because I have a harder time just talking with God, like, through prayer. So one of my things is I like to choose a specific song and sing that to God of how I'm feeling. Because I get into it. When I worship, like, lead worship, like, I kind of just, like, lose myself a little bit. Like, I don't know. It's just in that moment, I don't think about me performing for other people. I think about me just worshiping God, just me one-on-one with Him. So that's definitely been something that has helped me a lot. It's just being able to use my voice for God and to help me through all of my emotions.
Oh, that's really good. So what, is there a specific song that you really connect to or that's really helped you?
Trust in You.
Because there's a couple of Trust in Yous. Which one is it?
There are. Trust in You by Lauren Daigle.
Oh yeah. She just did that at her performance.
This is an interesting story. So this song, Trust in You, freshman year, right, what I talked about earlier, I was having a really hard year, and that's when, like, I had that experience and everything, and so that's when God said, trust in me, and so I was like, hey, I know a song like that by Lauren Daigle called Trust in You, and I was like, this would be a really cool song to sing for my choir concert, and so I asked my choir teacher, and he was like, yeah, I think that'd be a good idea, and he actually brought a professional piano player in, and he helped me work on the song, and he accompanied me for the song, for the concert, and he would play it, and I sang it, and I remember the first time I was practicing with him, and he's like, wow, God has given you a gift. Like, he was like, your voice is so powerful, and he was like, he works with professional singers, and he was literally got chills from you singing those, like, words. And so I was like, oh, wow, I know this is the song for me to sing. And so I did that song my freshman year at my choir concert, kind of just declaring to everyone that I still trust in God, even after what happened. And then I sang that song for a lot of other things, too. And then just recently, my senior year, I was going to do another concert. We were doing a worship concert, so I'm like, this is a perfect time to sing a worship song. And so my choir teacher, a new choir teacher, she was like, so what song do you want to sing? And I was like, I honestly don't know. And so she had me do this thing. I thought it was really cheesy. But she's like, it works for me when I can't make decisions. Like, take the Bible and just open up the Bible to a random page. And then the first thing you see, read that verse. And so I read a verse, and it said something about trusting God. And she was like, okay, so now what does that make you think of? And I was like, actually, that kind of makes me think of a song that I did my freshman year, Trust in You by Lauren Daigle. And she's like, okay, maybe that should be your song. I was like, maybe. She's like, well, it kind of seems like you're still indecisive, so let's try it again and then see what happens. So I did it again. I opened up the Bible, and then it fell on a verse that said, obey me. And so I was like, okay, that's definitely a sign. And so she was like, I think that means that you should do Trust in You. I think that's, like, a sign, like, God telling you, like, to obey Him and do that song. And so I was like, oh, okay, I guess that's the song I'm doing. But I was actually kind of, like, happy about that. I didn't even think about it until that, like, wow, like, this would be cool to sing this song my freshman year, like, right after everything that happened, showing that I just trust in God. And then doing it now, showing that I still trust in God. And so powerful. I've improved a lot since freshman year. So I was able to play the piano for myself this time.
Yeah, it's great.
And
she's never had a piano lesson, just have to say. Take after your dad.
Yeah, I've never had vocal lessons, piano lessons.
Just natural talent.
Well, yeah. Talent from God, definitely. And so this time I played the piano and I sang it, and I made my choir teacher cry. She said that she literally cried. And then everybody was like, I got goosebumps from that. And, like, so many people were coming up to me afterwards. They were like, good job. That was, like, favorite song of the night. Like, everybody was saying how good it was. And, like, everybody just loved it.
Amazing. I'm going to link it in the show notes so you, too, can listen to it.
Oh, okay, great. yeah, so everybody just loved it. And then, yeah, I think it's just really cool to, like, show that I still trust God, even though
that's
been like 4 years and like almost four years.
Well, your life is definitely like a testimony of someone trusting in God, and it's been amazing to see it. So as widows, we talk about like the hardest days for us. So widows, we did a poll. The hardest day is the would-be anniversary, like the day we would have been celebrating. We've been married this many years. So what day or days have been the hardest for you? I'm just so curious. I don't even know, as a child who's lost a father, what's the hardest days for you? I did not prepare her. I'm just asking her on the spot.
Well, since it happened, like, end of May, the first real holiday was Father's Day.
Oh, yeah, that was
hard. That was hard, 'cause it was, like, the first holiday.
Yeah, very first thing.
Literally, the very first thing was Father's Day. And
10 days, maybe.
Yeah, it wasn't even that long. And I remember I was like, I had something in mind, too, that I was going to do for this Father's Day. And I remember saying, what do I do? What do I do? I had something. And I remember crying because I was like, I wanted to give him this. I wanted to do this and this. Like, I had a whole plan. And you were like, do it. You're like, still do it. And I was like, what? Okay. And so I remember I still did what I had in mind. It was... I still have it in my room. It was this, like, painting that I did that said, "You are my sunshine."
Yeah.
And I'm very creative. Like, that's...
Yeah, she's really good at art.
Yeah, so I took these, like, old wooden blocks and I hot glued them together to kind of make, like, a little frame,
That's cool.
And then I painted it, and then I put "You are my sunshine," which, you know, is our song, on it. Like, I painted that, and I painted a little sunshine, and then I put glitter. I did this whole thing, and I even added these fake flowers to the top of it. Like, I just made a whole sign. And so I remember making that and then thinking, like, who am I going to give this to, though? Like, I don't have, like, a physical person here that I can give this to. And so it was, like, it was really hard. But I remember, I think it was, like, first time since the graveside service that I was visited the, grave. And I remember I set it down on the thing. And, I remember that was the first time I wanted to have alone time, too.
I
told... The boys did not.
They didn't want to get out of the car. No. It's okay.
Everyone, I don't think they ever have by themselves.
Nope.
Never got out of the car. They still haven't. But I wanted to. So I asked everybody to, you know, go wait in the car while I had my alone time. And it was weird. It was like...
I do it. It's strange.
First time, just, like, me. And we didn't even have a
the marker.
Whatever it's called.
Because
it was only, like, so literally so new. But I sat down the thing, and I cried. And I kind of just talked as if he was there. And then I just kind of said all the things that I've been holding in and that I hadn't said yet, that I just wanted to say. So, yeah, that was... And I remember you saying, don't leave the thing that I made there or else they're going to throw it away or something.
Because
that's what they do there.
Yeah.
And so I was like, oh, okay. So I still have it. It's in my room. I kept it. But it was... Yeah, now I look at it and I remember, like, I don't know. It's just like... Yeah, it's really nice to just look at and remember that.
What do you miss the most about your dad?
The list is endless. Well, like, everything. Just seeing his face, his voice. yeah. hugging him for sure, just him being there. Just like the love he had for me, like,
yeah,
just knowing I have, like, I have you obviously, but like, I just had like an extra special connection yeah. with him, like, just having that one person that I can, like, who just I can just connect with and always go to when just like we just had such a bond that I can't even explain it. So right. just like, he was basically like half of me, it felt like half of yeah. he was the other half of me, and then just losing that felt it was really hard, like there was just like an empty part in me. Mm-hmm. So especially yeah, just I don't know, I miss his voice. Mm-hmm. His singing voice.
Yes, good
singing voice. He had a good singing voice. When he did the sing, he didn't sing that often, but he did sing for me. Mm-hmm. And then just like yeah, his loving kindness, just hugs, just giving me love and attention. Like yeah. I got so much attention from him.
Yeah.
Like, literally.
One girl. Yeah.
Yeah, so much attention. So just having my daddy there to just always, yeah. like, go to with anything and knowing that he would just, like, embrace me with a hug, you know, like, whenever right. I wanted it, if I felt sad or anything. So I guess, yeah, I just miss everything all about that, him. Yeah. yeah, I there's not really just, like, one specific thing.
I miss a lot, like, having a complete family.
Mm.
Like, just having our family. I mean, everyone knows I love Joel, but I would rather have my complete family.
You know? Oh, yeah, for sure. That definitely, like, just losing one person affects so much. Like,
yeah.
I remember it did not, our family didn't feel like a family anymore.
No,
because you don't probably remember this, but you were just, like dazed every day. You were just kind of, like, in your own world, kind of. Mm-hmm. And I remember trying to step up and be kind of, like, the second parent in the house since we mm-hmm. didn't have anyone anymore. And because my older brother, he wasn't much help at all. He dealt with his grief in a different way.
Yes, he's through a hard
more
time.
Through anger. And mm-hmm. so he didn't really help much. And then Peyton, my little brother, didn't deal with it at all. He was just quiet and didn't say much. And so I felt like it was kind of up to me to try to keep this family mm-hmm. together. And so I dealt with a lot of just like trying to put on responsibility that I probably should not have put on mm-hmm. myself. Like with you, I remember you had a panic attack one night.
Yeah.
It was awful. I remember it was scary. You're like, I can't breathe. And I didn't know what to do. Yeah. And like, I
thought I was having a blood clot.
Yeah, like you mm-hmm. thought you were gonna, yeah, I was, and I was, like, freaking out, too. I'm like, I can't lose two parents, like,
right.
I was freaking out, so that was hard, and yeah. then just, like, you were trying to, you know, support our family, and so then I felt like I had to kind of take care of Peyton. I remember making him food all the time, making sure he was okay, because he, baby of the family, can't really do much for himself, so I just kind of had to grow up really fast,
yeah.
like, my childhood, I feel like, was cut short a lot. And it was just, yeah, it was very, yeah.
Really hard time. What do you think has been the most challenging thing about losing a parent or losing your dad?
Most challenging?
Yeah. Like, is it, like, certain days or you're like, I wish he was here for this or...
Well, obviously, with my graduation coming up.
Yeah, that's the big moment, I think.
The biggest moment. Every time I even think about it, I kind of, like, start to cry a little. Like, just knowing that he's not going to be there to watch me go down the aisle. Oh, not yet.
Skip ahead to
Go down across the stage. Wait, what was the question again?
Like, what's the most challenging thing?
Challenging.
I was just thinking of specific days or maybe, like, times when your friends are all talking about their dads or there's, like, you know, things about your dad and people don't think about it with you.
Yeah, kind of, yeah, people just, like, moving on and, like, me feeling like I'm alone, mm-hmm. kind of, and that nobody understands, like, not having right. anyone who understands. Even you, it's different.
Right,
a widow and, like, a child who's lost their father.
Totally different.
It's different. And so, like, for me, one of the hardest things has been, I know you're not moving on, but, like, seeing you happy again. I love seeing you happy again. It makes me happy that you're happy again. But, like, you have found another husband, and I can't find another father. Like,
right.
it's, right. and I'm not saying that anything, like,
no,
that you don't love daddy anymore, less or anything.
Right.
But, like, it's just hard seeing your mom move on. and just like find someone else to call her husband, and then me just feeling like I can't really, like, yes, I'm like Joel, I know, like, I care about him and stuff, but like he'll never be a father to me. Like, I'm not gonna see him as like a, like my father.
Right.
And so I can't really replace, not saying you're replaced, but like, right. I just can't.
I get what you're saying.
Yeah, like it's just, it's hard. It's just seeing like that you're able to be happy, and then like I can't find, like, just like I can't have that, like I can't have another dad like that ever again.
Right.
Like, so I think, yeah, that's been a really hard thing, is just like having you two be so close and then like kind of feeling left behind a little bit. Like,
that makes sense.
I know Peyton's been more talkative and opening up to more of this stuff. And one of the main things is, because I'm going off to college next year, probably, like, going away. And one of his main things is, like, don't leave me behind. He does not want to be left with just you two. Not saying he doesn't like you guys or whatever, but it's hard when, like, you see your mom happy again, and, like, then you're the only sibling, you're the only kid left in that house who like, understands what it is, like, what it means to be without, like, their dad, and just kind of having, you know, you and Joel, like, be off in your own world, kind of, and then just him. Like, I get that. Like, I would feel, like, alone, too. And so, like, that's, yeah, that's been a hard thing, is just, like, yeah, kind of just seeing that, seeing you with someone else has been really hard.
But at the same time, you said you wanted me to be happy.
Oh, no, no, yeah. Oh, like, definitely. I wouldn't want you to be, like, a lonely old widow, like, cat lady. I said that before, yeah. I think I said that at your wedding.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, because obviously it makes me sad. But at the same time, I'm so happy. At your wedding, I cried for the first time in a long time.
Was it happy or sad tears? Or a mixture? Maybe a mixture.
It was definitely a mixture because it was kind of crying because, like, realizing that this is, like, actually happening, that, like, you are going to be with another man who's not my dad, and that's really weird, like, just to imagine that, like, you just being with another man, but it's not my dad. Like,
yeah,
that,
I could see.
Like, that was weird. But then also at the same time, like, I was, like, so happy that you were able to find someone. Like, it was just a mix of emotions.
Yeah.
But I remember crying so much. And I had to sing right after that. And so I was like, come on, don't cry too much. So it was, yeah, it was very emotional. So, yeah, I'm sad. But also, like, I'm so happy that you have him. Because one day, you know, all of your kids are going to be gone.
Very
and I don't
soon.
Want you to, yeah, in the next 2 years or whatever.
Yeah.
So obviously I don't want, like, you to just be alone. So I'm, like, really happy that you have somebody else who's here for you.
Yeah,
so.
But I think this is good. So my hope is that the widows who listen will have their kids listen to this, because isn't it nice when you can, I don't know if you've ever found someone who can relate to you in the same way, but have you ever found anybody that you feel like, hey, they get it?
No, this is actually why I've been helping you with, when you do these widow events, I enjoy talking to the other kids there, because they understand what it's like to lose their dad. And it makes me so happy that they have someone that they can hear who has experienced what they've experienced, and that they're not alone. Because, like I talked about, one of the hardest things was feeling alone and that nobody understands. Like when I, you know, my first day of school, nobody understood, and just like, it was really just, like, awful feeling alone and not knowing anyone and, like, to turn to for this. And so that's why I'm so grateful that you're doing this, like, podcast, and you're putting yourself out there and sharing your story so that other people can know that they're not alone. 'Cause I wish I had that when I was, like, going through this. I wish I had, like, someone that I could turn to who knew what it was like and could just let me know that it's not alone. And so that's kind of what I've been doing. Was helping other people, like, you've sent me, like, other people's numbers, some kids' numbers, and I've reached out just saying, like, oh, you don't have to respond, because I understand, sometimes you just don't want to respond, but, like, I understand what you've been going through, like, I actually do understand what you're going through, because I have experienced it myself, and just letting them know, and most of the time, they're like, oh, yeah, like, they appreciate, hearing that somebody else did that, so, yeah, I would definitely, yeah, encourage Yeah. Like, you guys to share this with your kids. With your kids,
and if, well, we'll cut this out if you're not okay with this, but if you're okay with it, maybe they could, like, reach out to you on Instagram or something. Yeah. And make sure you, like, in the message say, you know, this is from the podcast or whatever, yes, but it's just Haley Bader, right?
Haley.Bader.
Haley.Bader on Instagram. So H-A-Y-L-E-Y. If you guys send a message, if your kids send a message, make sure they say it's from the podcast, so it's not some, like, weirdo. So then she can respond to it. But this is awesome because, yeah, you're inspiring these people who have nobody. Mm-hmm. And so tonight is our second Widows event that Haley's helping with. So it was so beautiful last time. She was able to write a letter, like, have the three, there were three kids there, have them write a letter to their dad. And they ended up going home and saying it was like the best night of their life and they loved it. And it was just mm-hmm. so powerful. And then we've got this brand new widow coming tonight who has like a little one. Oh. And, you know, she's a single mom. She wouldn't be able to come. But I was like, my daughter's going to babysit. So you're able to, even though this one's probably too young to understand, you're able to help like the widow's kids. Like, that's beautiful. And we're going to continue doing this the third Monday of every month. So other times I'm sure there'll be older kids for mm-hmm. you to plug into. And this could be like kind of a ministry that you do.
Yeah. Because like, yeah, it's important to help the widows, but like, I don't want to forget about the kids.
Exactly. There's not, like, not as much for
because
kids.
There's, I don't really know much of anything for like kids who have lost parents, like,
right, there are,
I mean, obviously there's like counseling and
stuff like that, but like,
but
this,
specifically kids who have experienced it helping other kids, like,
right,
I don't think I've,
no, this is something
ever heard of,
great.
That so like, that's something I would have appreciated, even though I don't like talking about my feelings, just right. knowing that I could go to someone, and there are other kids who like talking about their feelings, mm-hmm. just knowing that there is someone that they could talk about who has experienced what they're experiencing and that they're not alone in that, like, I would have appreciated that a lot. So yeah. just knowing that I can help other people is like very important to me.
Yeah. And what, say, so we always ask the widows what advice they would give. So I'm going to ask you, what advice would you give to someone who recently lost a parent? It's kind of a big question, but just any advice that you have.
Advice if they lost a parent. Mm. It's okay to cry.
Well, that's a good one. What we feel, we heal. But you hear me say that all the time.
You
hear me say it probably.
It's because I don't like crying, but it's okay to cry, definitely. And
that's good.
And to just know that you're not alone, because that's when, yeah, like, just know that there, other people have experienced it, and that the best thing that can help you is God, really. I don't know what else to tell you. Like, that's
right.
That's it. That's what it. Helps you. That's, it's God. Like, he just, if you have to turn to something, like, turn to God. Like,
exactly. And there's our dog. It's probably because Joel's home.
Oh.
Well, we're just about to wrap it up anyways, but that's awesome. Yes, turn to God. Like, that, there's no other answer. Like, people turn to all kinds of things that don't help them. And so your life is an example of turning to God and not turning to all the wrong things, and to, you know, it's just, it's been amazing to watch you grow, and now you're like almost an adult, which is crazy for me. Of course, we would have never chosen this life, but I can see in your life God making beauty from ashes, turning mourning to dancing, you mm-hmm. know, and just making like some great things in your life. So, like, yeah. Is that how you're able to be at peace with this?
Yeah, definitely. One of the things that I like to say is, like, why have a story if you're not going to share it? Like,
boom.
Like, that's, I like saying that all the time. Because, like, God gave me this story for a reason. Like, there's no way. You just be like, oh, yeah, he's just dead, blah, blah, blah. Like, that's it.
Yeah,
there's,
exactly.
No, there's always a reason for what God does. And I believe his reason was for me to help other people. Mm-hmm. Because, like, it, like, losing your father, it's, like, the worst pain, like, yeah. I've ever experienced. Mm-hmm. And so just knowing that other people are experiencing that pain, too, and me just sitting back not doing anything, that, like, I, like, it's, I want to be able to help other people share, like, how I've helped, like, how I've gone through it and how I can help other people through it.
Yeah, that's awesome. It's been really amazing to watch. Yeah, that's what I always say to people. Like, if I had to go through this, I'm going to help somebody.
Yeah, why would I just sit back?
We're about to wrap it up, but tell us really quick, what are your plans for the future? Like, what do you want to do with your life?
My life future, meaning a few months, yeah. Till I go to college. I want to become, like I said, I love music. I want to become an elementary school music teacher because also I love kids. And kind of like what I'm talking about now, like love helping kids. And so I want to use the gift that God gave me in my music, my music ability, to help inspire other kids to use music and because like to help with through emotional things or whatever, because that's what helped me through one of the hardest things in my life was music. And so just being able to do that, like that's something I'm going to love, like music and kids every day. That sounds good. So yeah, I'm planning on becoming an elementary school music teacher.
And then hopefully you'll be able to do worship team theater and
planning on that. And maybe even like after I graduate, maybe finding like a church and I can be a worship leader there.
Yeah.
Because that's also something that I really enjoy doing. Maybe someday produce songs. I don't know. Yeah. I kind of hope that I could do that.
I think you'd be really good. And like you have all these powerful songs that you wrote during this time period. I think it'd help a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
So anyways, well, thank you so much for joining. And look, it is an hour. She's like, are we going to be here a whole hour? I don't know, but it's always an hour. But such a powerful episode because we've never had a Kid of a Widow talk. So I know, you guys, if you're listening and your kids are of an age where they can understand this, I would say, you know, whatever age, like, please let them hear this so they can hear from someone else who's been through it and is clinging to God and is a good example of how God can heal our pain. And, you know, if they're a teenager and they have Instagram, Haley.Bader, send her a message. You heard about it from the podcast and they can connect there. So anything else you want to say? A lot of talking.
Yeah, I haven't talked this much in a while.
I think we're good. I think we had a therapy session, which is awesome. So thanks, guys, for listening. You know, all the things I always say. You know what? I'm going to pray because I always pray for our guests. So is that cool?
Okay.
God, I just thank you for Haley being here today and for her story. I pray that this goes out to help thousands of kids. And just I pray blessings over her future, her life. I pray for scholarships, all the things that she's hoping for. And just thank you for her being willing to be a vessel to help other people. I pray for our listeners that they will find peace today, that joy will cover them, and that they will just seek you in all they do. We just thank you for all you've done. Amen. Well, if you like this podcast, give it a little bing, 5 stars on Apple Podcasts. She's never heard me do this. She's like, what? You don't listen to my podcast? I say bing.
No.
Like when you guys were little, remember I'd say bing? Yeah. Like when you did something good? Bing.
Okay.
Anyways, give it 5 stars, Apple Podcasts. Connect with us on Facebook, Widow Too Soon. Ask to join the Widow Too Soon community, Widow Too Soon on Instagram. All the places. We'll see you next time. Bye.
Bye.
Why are you laughing?